Thursday, May 19th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, earlier this week, the Epoch Times came out with a story concerning the Moore Center for Prevention of Child Abuse at Johns Hopkins University. They recently have hired Dr. Alan Walker, who'll be joining the Moore Center as a postdoctorate fellow on May the 25th. Harry, he comes to the Moore Center with somewhat of a controversial background.
And of course, the number one credential that is referenced concerning Dr. Walker by Johns Hopkins in the hiring of this individual is his quote-unquote research on the prevention of child abuse. Now, let's go ahead and affirm the focused area of this Moore Center for the Prevention of Child Abuse. It's pedophilia, and that is the sexual abuse of children. So the question would be, well, we're certainly opposed to child abuse, absolutely, and we're certainly opposed to pedophilia, absolutely. And research is helpful, absolutely. Then what is the story here? Well, the story is in the selection of Dr. Walker. So who is this one who is going to lead this institution? Well, he doesn't arrive without a past. But let me just make another point from a Christian world in life view. Unless there is divine intervention, the best predictor of the future is someone's performance in the past. Well, Dr. Walker comes to the Moore Center with a past, Tom.
Harry, this is not the first time we've talked about Dr. Walker. We had a podcast about him last year. Walker, who identifies as non-binary and uses pronouns they, them, previously worked as an assistant professor of sociology and criminal justice at Old Dominion University in Virginia. He has come out and said pedophiles need to be referred to with a more euphemistic term. He comes up with the term minor attracted persons, or MAPS. He said it wasn't necessarily immoral for adults to be sexually attracted to children. He went on to say, I want to be extremely clear that child sexual abuse is never okay, but having an attraction to minors, as long as it isn't acted upon, doesn't mean that the person who has those attractions is doing something wrong.
So he has a worldview. By the way, we have a theological term for this. It's called concupiscence. And what his basic view is that the act of evil or the act of sin or the act of criminality is wrong, but the desire is not wrong. You can have the desire, and we should not stigmatize the desire, even though we want to outlaw the act. Well, let me assure you, if you don't bring the stigma and declaration of something being wrong and sinful as a desire, it's just a matter of time till you find a way to accommodate the act. And what his position is in his quote-unquote research is that we want to maintain that sexual child abuse is wrong, pedophilia, but he wants to remove the stigma of one's sexual attraction to children and to quote-unquote euphemistically affirm it. And he's got a term he calls MAPS and minor attracted persons. Well, that's what we do whenever we want to normalize something. The first thing you do is make it thinkable in order to make it acceptable, and then eventually it becomes doable. Now, why am I bringing this up? Well, now he is moving to an institution that's supposed to prevent child abuse. The number one issue is sexual child abuse. And the person you bring in, you say you're bringing in because they are astute at research, yet they tell you what they do with their research, which is to say, okay, we will maintain the stigma against the act of child abuse, but we are going to remove the stigma of the desire to have a sexual relationship with a child. That is the sexual attraction to a child. Now, why would people want to take that position? Well, there's a number of reasons, but one reason is because a secular world in life view has no hope to change someone's heart, that men and women are basically born good. I mean, we're the noble savage, if I can refer to Rousseau and others. We're the noble savage, and the only problem is our environment. And if you change the environment, then there won't be sin. Well, the problem with that statement is who produced the environment? We produce the environment that you say causes the sin. Well, the reality is it is our sin that produces the environment, and our sin doesn't come from the environment. Our sin comes from our heart, that we are born sinners, and that's why we sin. The fact is, Tom, the problem is not just education. The problem is not just environment, and the problem will never be addressed unless you identify the desire for evil and the desire for sin as sinful in and of itself. But there's another sexual sin of abnormality called homosexuality. And the point is not do we try to love people who are desirous of abnormal sexuality, whether it's homosexuality or bisexuality or bestiality or pedophilia. It's not that we don't want to love people, but to love people, you don't ignore the problem, nor do you ignore the source of the problem. You address the problem when you love someone. And the problem is not just the act, the problem is the desire. In the PCA right now, we're discussing a movement called Revoice Side B Theology, which basically says that a gay Christian can affirm that homosexual practice is wrong, but that the church needs to affirm that the attraction is not wrong, that the attraction is to be understandable. And by the way, the attraction is something you have to live with the rest of your life. Well, the reality is that's not true according to the gospel. First of all, the gospel of grace declares that God's grace is greater than our sin so that we can be forgiven of the guilt and the shame of the act because Jesus has paid for our sin, and we can be emancipated from the desire through a process the Bible calls sanctification, whereby we can grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to grow through the Word of God, prayer, fellowship, discipleship, and worship. All of those things can begin to move us not only to kill the act of sin, but to kill the desire for sin, so that we can grow in grace. Whether it's heterosexual promiscuity, homosexual perversion, or pedophilia and its perversion. But Dr. Walker is a clear dead end and not a hope to address the issue of sexual child abuse. What he proposes actually creates a greenhouse whereby more child abuse will actually be the product of this center if they adopt what the person they have chosen to lead them. Now, what's interesting is Johns Hopkins actually knows what this person believes, knows why he was dismissed at Old Dominion, and yet they're bringing him in because, quote unquote, he does good research. When you select a leader, you need to ascertain what are their qualifications, what have they done in the past, and know what the trajectory will be in the future. Johns Hopkins clearly is more motivated by virtue signaling that they're going to hire someone who is a card-carrying member of the LGBTQAI+ movement. That has become more important to them than actually accomplishing what this center supposedly was established to do. It wasn't established to give a job to an LGBTQAI participant. It ought to be to give someone a job who understands the problem and knows how to get to the solution to the issue in public policy. That's what ought to be taking place. But the trajectory under the leadership of Dr. Walker is inevitable, and it is contradictory to the statement of why the center was established. But as believers, we are once again called back to our utter dependence upon the Lord and our utter adoration that our God has not looked upon our condition in sin and set us on a trajectory that actually exacerbates sin. He has given us a true solution in the power of the gospel. I am everlastingly grateful personally and pastorally.
Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. Harry Reader's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity and Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith. To order your copy of this 9-CD album, go to briarwood.org/progressive CD. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Friday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.